Take extreme measures to curb the pandemic. Only essential services remain open. Gatherings are prohibited. It's forbidden to leave your home between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. These efforts aim to protect our healthcare workers, seniors, and loved ones. Let's comply with the lockdown and curfew to lower the risk of contracting COVID-19, because our health is important. For more information, visit quebec.ca/confinement. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Listen to CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, and then you would miss me so much. Should I do another one?
No.
No? Okay.
On CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal, this is episode 9 of the Cassette Archives, 25 Years of Funky Revolutions. The first episode or part of a series we paid tribute to James Brown on December 30th, 2006, in lieu of an interview we were supposed to do with him before he came to Montreal a few days later for a scheduled show at the Metropolis. Unfortunately, he passed away before we were able to interview him on Christmas Day, 2006. We just heard, before the break, Night Train, and this is his period leading up to the successes that you might know in the late middle 60s.
A fruitful period in terms of arrangement and composition that was building to the birth of the first really typical James Brown sound, building up in 1964. This recording of Night Train and the other recordings of that time, 1961, 1962, were all far more arranged, drawing on Latin and jazz orchestrations and rhythms, emphasizing instruments, stabs and jabs, beginning to give the polyrhythmic feel that was to become more and more associated with the James Brown revolution. These kinds of ballads that could be swept up and extended for the band and for solo presentations on stage worked very well for James Brown in this period. But he wanted national notoriety, and he also wanted to expose the greatest strengths of his band in terms of his live performance. He'd recorded early in 1961 an album at Apollo's famous theater, where he was exposed just recently, and it was shelved by his record company until a conflict arrived. Anyways, recorded in October of 1962 at the Apollo Theater in New York, the album was finally released in May of 1963 on the King record label, The James Brown Show, Live at the Apollo, the first of three or four Apollo releases in the next 20 years or so by Mr. James Brown. This is a wonderful song called I Don't Mind, a live version, a James Brown trio composition, lead vocals, and the birth of the continuing act of the famous Flaves on stage as vocalizers, with a band now beginning to really look like the James Brown Review that would happen in around 1964. This is I Don't Mind, live, recorded in 62.
Your love.
CKUT 90.3 FM, a tribute to James Brown, a live version from his most successful album to date, released in 1963. The James Brown Show Live at the Apollo reached number 2 for album successes on the charts, very unusual for hardcore rhythm and blues at the time. I Don't Mind Live, James Brown with the Famous Flaves and his band. He had recording disputes, as I said, in the 1963 period, which explains why he only actually released and recorded or released 3 compositions, although he was stacking stuff away to be released or revamped a little later when he became more independent. He did attempt to break off and record with another label called Smash, but this label could only record instrumental music, release nothing with his vocals. And a whole series of records came out in 1964 and 65, not records per se, but singles, and one album, Grits and Soul, that was mostly based around this new James Brown review, the first of the classic orchestras for James Brown, featuring the young Maceo Parker, who had just joined along with his brother, and Melvin Parker on drums, Bernard Odom still on bass, and a couple of other key characters on alto sax, Nat Jones, and a couple of other people in terms of the horns. Horns here would become essential to the new definition of sound from 1964 on up. Before we get to that period, though, I want to listen to one record that he did put out in 1963 on his own, Try Me Records, recorded in March and released in April 1963. It was a final release for his first tentative own record label, but featured some of the poetry of the lineup that he was searching for and going to build over the next few years to give him such a tight, groove-alicious sound. James Brown, Bobby Bird, Lewis Hamlin. Particularly important is the name of St. Clair Pinckney, on tenor saxophone, one of the guys who would stay with him for almost all of his career on so many of his recordings and backing him so often on stage. Also, Ace King McMillan on tenor sax, Clark on Benatar saxophone, and Les Buell on guitar, soon to be replaced by the key members of the James Brown Review. This is a song, one of the only 3 that he released in 1963, and it was basically, I'm playing it because it was his theme show review. This is what the show started with, and the kind of breaks that they would rely on during different appearances or soloists and performers. This is Devil's Den by the Poets.
Thank you. not so.
Would continue recording instrumental tracks throughout his career, not only his, but those of his band members as well, instrumentals that continue to be sampled today. It is also a part of his business strategy in attempting to reach greater commercial and popular heights. Throughout the 1960s, he did a series, not concept albums as such, but albums attempting to provide flavors for different kinds of mainstream audiences. Around the same time in 1963, he did have one big substantial pop hit, the first. And, this was a studio record. It was the first time a pop record of this kind featured, soul record featured a huge string section. This is Prisoner of Love on CKUT 90.3 FM to reach number two, I think, on the pop charts for Mr. James Brown.
I need no shackles to remind me I'm just a prisoner. Don't let me be a prisoner. From what command I stand and wait now. From what the master of mine fade now. It's too late now. I'm just a prisoner. Don't let me be a prisoner. What's the good of my sharing, if someone sharing those arms, but not with me. Although she has another, and I can't have another, for I'm not free. She's in my dreams away, I'll sleep in pain. I brought my knees to her, I'm creeping.
Given James Brown's dissatisfaction with his recording deal in 1963 with King Records, and Sid Nathan, the leader and owner-operator of the label, who refused Mercury's offer to buy him in order to, so that they could exploit James Brown's talent that they recognize, James Brown began to, as I said earlier, try and record with other people. And led to a number of problems. And in the 64 period, even though in 63 period, even though he wasn't putting out as many records, and eventually he was putting instrumentals out with Smash, in a Smash record label, and then doing vocal work reluctantly for King, he was honing this very fresh new group of a new sound that would be able to bring out the rhythmic center of the music that is James Brown. We're going to hear one of those tracks recorded in 1964 that is giving us the elements that are going to appear in 1965, which most commentators say is the year with particularly the release of Papa's Got a Brand New Bag as being pivotal, A, to a wider popular appreciation of James Brown music, it going to be a million seller in 1965, but also centering around this new kind of syncopation that was to define and begin to suggest the funk of the 1970s. Let's go to this controversial record put out by Smash. They put out a single in 1964, July of 1964, and because of the success of this song, Out of Sight, and did very well on the R&B and pop charts, they put out an album later that year called Grits and Souls. Let's hear Out of Sight with James Brown and his band, now featuring youngsters, two brothers, as I mentioned earlier, from Greensboro, North Carolina, Melvin and Maceo Parker, and musical director Nat Jones. This was the new school, I guess, of new inventive players who keep up with the herky-jerkiness of the music. The other song that was we won't hear, but which is pivotal to this period and backed Out of Sight, is the song called Grits, which featured new composition work from Nat Jones and gave a kind of blue feeling, instrumentally funky sound with advents and a head nod towards more commercial jazz that were precursors to some of the hits like It's a Man's World, we'll hear in a moment. This is CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. My name is Khalid, and this is Funky Revolutions, a tribute to James Brown.
You got your highest sneakers on, slipping new. You got your highest sneakers on, and you're slipping new. Know you're out of sight. You got a shapely figure, mama, that's keeping you up tight. You got a shapely figure, mama, keep me up tight. You're too much. You know you're out of sight. Hey, the way you do the thing you do, you kiss me too. The way you do the things you do,
Prototype for the sound that is perhaps made most famous and the beginning of the real height of the career of James Brown. Out of Sight, released on Smash Records controversially and featuring the beginnings of the great review band Maceo Parker, St. Clair Pinckney, Nat Jones on alto saxophone, Les Bew, who'd be soon replaced by Jimmy Nolan. That name appears on the next track, and this is beginning the crucial period of the James Brown band and review. Papa's Got a Brand New Bag. Finally, there was a couple of releases in 1964 with Smash, some instrumentals, and then finally a new record with King. It was this song which really defined the new era of the music we just heard, this kind of rhythmic elements with all of these horns punching in and out over the sounds, polyrhythms based more on rhythm, more on the play and exchange of the instruments rather than any kind of emphasis of melody. All of the instruments trying to groove, and we have the beginnings of the birth of the one, something we'll explain a little later in the program or in part two of our tribute to James Brown. My name is Khalid. Hope you're enjoying our little tribute to one of the great, 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 great voices and movers and shakers of the sound we feature on the mothership, our fuel, soul and funk music of the 1950s to the 19, well, to today. Papa's Got a Brand New Bag. This was a huge record and featured, as I said, most of the essential band members, and was would attract the next generation of that would close out the super band of the 1960s. Those members would be jazzers like Pee Wee Ellis that would come on board after the success of this record. This Papa's Got a Brand New Bag, I'm going to play the original recording, parts 1, 2, and 3. James Brown on vocal and a big, huge three trumpets, trombone, alto saxophone, baritones, tenors, three tenors, organ, Nat Jones. It was either Nat Jones or Bobby Bird who would be doing most of the organ work over the rest of the next 10 or so, 15 years. Sam Thomas and Bernard Odom on bass and Melvin Parker on drums. They would eventually be replaced by 1966 by people like John Jabbo Starks and Stubblefield on drums. Odom would stay on bass, but would sometimes be replaced by other vocal bassists, including Fred Thomas, who would really basically stay in throughout the 1970s with James Brown. But now we have the elements in the last song, Out of Sight, the rhythmic core that he was searching for. And now we were to hear in 1965 the huge classic called Papa's Got a Brand New Bag, a new sound that would himself kind of shock James Brown. He said to a disc jockey of the time in southern United States, Alan Leeds, "It's a little beyond me right now. I'm actually fighting the future. It's just out there. If you're thinking, well, maybe this guy is crazy, take any record off your stack and put it in your box, even a James Brown record, and you won't find one sound that sounds like this one. It's a new bag, just like I sang." This is the original. The actual single release at the time was edited and sped up and had a slightly better popular tempo to it. But this is the original sessions recorded in one take in February of 1965 on CKUT 90.3 FM. This is Papa's Got a Brand New Bag, parts 1 through 3 on CKUT 90.3 FM. This is Funky Revolutions.
I got to catch it where I can swing, and I can't swing it, you know. It's a lot of words here, man.
That was good, though.
Yes, I think. Preaching, man. This is a hit! Come in the dance. Papa's in the swing. You ain't too hip. But that new breed thing. You ain't no drag. Papa's got a brand new bag. Papa's got a brand new bag. It's a jack. He's doing the fly. Don't play him cheap, cause you know he ain't shy. He's doing the monkey, the mashed potatoes. Jump back, Jack. See you later, alligator. Come here, sister. Papa's in the swing. Here to hip now.
tribute to James Brown on CKUT 90.3 FM, 3:37 on the PM side of things for this afternoon flight of the mothership. Hope you've enjoyed the show. The original recordings, part 1, 2, and 3 of Papa's Got a New, Brand New Bag, the kind of accelerated hits. He would be on the charts for, basically the next decade, essentially. Almost all the time on the rhythm and blues charts. And with this song breaking into the top 10, reaching finally a white audience with his music and achieving much of the success he was searching for. However, let me play you the song that was actually released and sped up from this original recording session, the hit that people were dancing to in 1965. Top 10 for the white audiences in the pop market. His follow-up single to Papa's Got a Brand New Bag, I Got You, I Feel Good, went even higher to number 3 on the national charts.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got you. Oh, I feel nice. Sugar and spine. I feel nice. Sugar and spine. So nice. So nice. I got you. When I hold you in my arms, I know that I can't do no wrong. My love won't do you no harm, and I feel nice. That sugar is fine. I feel nice. That sugar is fine.
It's a little hard to overstate the popularity of James Brown beginning in 1965 and 66. International fame, European and Asian tours to follow, the promise of African tours, appearances on major television programs, recordings and films, and presence on a lot of charts, as well as the beginning of a political voice involved in, for example, a program to educate black youth in 1966, traveling to the White House to begin working on the Don't Be a Dropout campaign. Some of the motifs that he would begin to sing more about in the later 1960s. James Brown, these are the time also of the recordings of the very popular songs, Well Like I Feel Good, which were the crossover hits and made him such a popular figure in North America to black and white audiences both, until the emergence of his more quote-unquote radical side alienated a wider and larger white audience. But at this time, everybody was coming to check out James Brown at his concerts, both black and white. And he was to have another success following on these songs, I Feel Good and Ain't That a Groove. He was to go in and record, not always with his session bands. And the next couple of songs are going to be give you an idea of some of the session recordings he did, trying to reach a wider market. His next big follow-up success in terms of soul music was It's a Man's Man's World, and the lighter stuff from James Brown. But he recorded an earlier version of this in 1964 that didn't come out until 1985. But this gives you the sense of It's a Man's World in 1964 and what it would sound like. Again, this I'll fade in and bring you in It's a Man's 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 World, the more popular 1966 recording released in April of that year.
Money to buy from other men. about a woman or a girl. He's lost in the wilderness. He's lost in bitterness.
The pop hit of 1966. It's a man's world with a orchestra recording. And before that, the original 1964, more gritty, soulful, and small non-orchestra orchestration and recording called A Man's World. The beginning of articulations of political and social ideas in the work of James Brown, if not overtly. And a very popular song for him in terms of popular charts and white music audiences. It is on the mothership flight, quarter to the hour of 4 p.m. when Howard Stretch, Carr, and crew come in. And so we will begin to wind down part one of our tribute to James Brown. I've really been very restrained in selecting compositions of the period we've been covering, the first basic 10 years of still recorded history. There are reputed to be some early recordings by James Brown in the early 50s, but no masters exist. So the first 10 years of James Brown's career, and I still have yet to do the next 15, the real funk era of James Brown in the 1970s and his influence on popular electronic music, particularly hip-hop in the 1980s, and a few of his own weak contributions from that period in the hip-hop vein that I also intended to play today. He'll have to wait till next week, as it were. So I've been talking a little bit about the formation of the great James Brown Orchestra as such, a huge crew and a huge review. You had the singers Vicki Anderson comes on board in the 1960s as a vocalist and as an independent act. These huge road shows that they put on. Alfred Pee Wee Ellis on tenor saxophone. He was a jazz guy who happened to see a show one day and just was blown away. He'd been studying Pharoah Saunders and guys like that. And here wanted to jump on board James Brown and thought it was an incredible period. This music was also, as I said earlier in the program, James Brown discussed his background, where he came from, and the poverty of his situation and the lack of instruments and the lack of exposure. And yet this rich, divine, gritty funk music, soul music being born. And now we have in 1966 the essentials of the first James Brown band: Maceo Parker, St. Clair Piccaninny, Charles Carr, Bobby Bird, Jimmy Nolan, Alfonso Country Coleman, Bernard Odom, Starks, Vicki Anderson, the Jewels, all these different members who would make up an essential part of his live program, but also the wonderful music he'd continue putting out in the 1960s. At the same time, all of these recordings we're playing are a kind of a chronological development and look at his career. On the side, though, he was beginning to produce other people. And I'm going to, in an attempt not only to have success and put out more of his funk message, but also in an attempt to put out musical products that might hit a different paying or clientele. We're going to get to a couple of those selections in a moment. You're listening to CKUT at 90.3 FM. We'll hear one last song from the 1966 period, and that is, again, from the period of some politicization. This is from the campaign I was talking about, Don't Be a Dropout. At this point, he felt that he had a mission. He was not only a musician, but a symbol. One of the first musicians to travel in his own Learjet. He was beginning to acquire radio stations in the southern United States. And he felt that he was a entrepreneurial figure for black Americans as well. This is James Brown and a Nat Jones composition, Don't Be a Dropout, on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Don't
Now a good friend of mine sat with me and he cried. He told me a story, I know he hadn't lied. He said he went for a job, and this the man said, without an education, you might as well be dead. Now don't get me wrong, he said it's not who you are, but people come to me from a near and a far. But I do just work, and I follow the rules. I didn't have an education, so I had to go back to school. Tell me one more time, people, now, what he said, without an education, you might as well. That he loved so well, and of their personal troubles I will not tell. Now those guys didn't seem good, and they didn't seem bad. They didn't seem so happy, and I know they weren't sad. But the point is it that they follow the rules. They got an education, and they all finished school. Now underneath his tears I can see the true fact. When he dropped out of school, he never, never went back. Tell me one more time, people. Yeah.
What he said.
Without an education, you might as well. Got to listen now.
What he said.
Without an education,
might as well be dead.
Look here. So one day he got tired of his little spending change. So he looked up his friends to check their pay ring. When he got there, the crib, he found that he was a drag. Cause man, they were clean, and his clothes were like rags. One was a businessman with a plenty of dough. He had his thing so set up, he knew he couldn't blow. The other had his job so uptight. He had his whole family and his kids all out of sight. Tell me one more time now. Without an education,
you've
got to get a little learning. Without an education,
might as well be dead.
What made him so hurt that these were his friends and he was a drag? They looked at him and he was in the same old bag. For his friends, they worked real hard when the work that went through. Now he realized he should have done the same thing too. Tell me one more time now.
What he said.
Without an education,
might as well be dead.
Got to get some learning now.
What he said.
Without an education,
might as well
be dead. For the last time I'm gonna say, they kept on pushing when the going was tough. And now they know that things don't seem so rough. So kids, stay in school, don't be no drag. Take a fool's advice and stay out of that bag. Look at you, tell me, Bobby, tell me one more time.
What he said.
Without an education,
might as well be dead.
Tell me, the jewels, tell me now one more time.
What he said.
Without an education,
might as well be dead.
Everybody, tell me one more time.
What he said.
Without an education,
the period of 1966 is where we'll stop today with James Brown, although perhaps one more song of celebration from a little later, reflecting his importance. The author, Ricky Vincent, also a funk radio host in California, in his book, Funk, the Music, the People, and the Rhythm of the One, describes this period of the brand new bag and the dropout music of 1965-66 as essentially paving the way for funk music. This kind of urgency, immediate and intense rhythmic flow, vivid and dignified, defined a new kind of expression, which for him was a scorching expression of the black man's soul, just when the entire world was listening in anticipation. Brown began to record a series of records with powerful, socially relevant themes. And there you have the classics, for example, A Man's Man's World, bringing the blues text to heights it never had experienced and exposure it never experienced before. Up-tempo songs like Don't Be a Dropout in 1966 was basically the development of a kind of up-tempo tune formula for tense, tight polyrhythms, countered by frantic vocal styles brought home by the urgency of the messages and the passion of the music. There was the kind of interaction between the horns and James in terms of screeching, scatting, extorting, and swazzing out the energy of the band. The very core, he writes, of funk as we know it was spawned from the uninhibited flow of these interactions. Brown was putting more music into the meaning into the music, and the vibe was taking the whole thing to another level. Raw power and relevance of rhythm and blues to become the funk. As James Brown himself described this new band and review that was becoming tighter and tighter with the participation of people like Maceo Parker, he said on it, on the clearer focus in his sound, "I had discovered that my strength was not in the horns, it was in the rhythm. I was hearing everything, even the guitars, like they were drums, an instrument on which he occasionally played and recorded even. I had found out how to make it happen. On playbacks, when I saw the speakers jumping, vibrating a certain way, I knew that was it. Deliverance. I could tell from looking at the speakers that the rhythm was right." James Brown, a tribute to this important figure. I talked also about his importance in terms of trying to make accessible music, to take it to more popular and lucrative heights with a white mainstream audience. This is my next offering for you. He recorded with a North kind of funk jazz trio called D. Felice and had a couple of minor, notable jazzy hits. And this is one of them. There Was a Time on CKUT 90.3 FM.
We've all spent the past few weeks stuck inside, so make sure you don't keep everything inside. It's normal to feel stressed, anxious, or even sad. After all, you don't have to be infected to be affected. For advice, don't hesitate to visit quebec.ca/allez-mieux, because protecting yourself also means protecting your well-being. A message from the gouvernement du Québec.
Are out of here, CKUT 90.3 FM. I really did think I'd take you to at least 1970 in tribute of James Brown. Come back next week. We'll continue our look at his work, the evolution of his career, the distribution of the funk among us, and his legacy as well. My name was Khalid. I hope you've enjoyed our flight with the Mothership Connection we call Funky Revolutions. We'll see you all next week. Reminding you, as usual, free your mind and our collective ass will follow. In 1969, James Brown was a huge figure. His political songs like Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud touched a generation whose memory and admiration continue till today. In 1969, the last and original poets created this song of tribute. And we'll end our program, our flight with the Mothership. Thank you, Mr. James Brown, Mr. Dynamite.
When black arms open empty to circle round night, can you hear the scream of train whistles racing through fields of chainy ball trees? Cry, Jimmy, cry. And make that cry for all the dreams we traveled. Blues is brown ladies that fade into night, that ruffle pink slips against your limbs, giggle and disappear. Blues of the night that hangs out windows, street corner blues, scotch and soda, please. Cry, Jimmy, cry. Cry the pain of broken men that stumble past empty dreams when night opens wide its mouth to grind you, swallow you into pieces of black dust. Shake, Jimmy, shake. Shake the chains of that blueberry woman who sleeps on pillows of chinchilla softness as visions of El Dorados flash through her body. Scream, Jimmy, scream. Scream against that hollow death that rubs against your back. But Jimmy, don't fall. Please don't fall. Jimmy, don't fall. Please don't fall. Please, 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 please. James Brown, the witch doctor, screams, falls, scoops the moon from the river, showers the power of his cold sweat on hot brown mommies, showers the power of his cold sweat as his sweat becomes the river. And he drinks the river, sweats the river, drinks the river, sweats the river, drinks, sweats, and swallows the sun. James Brown, the healer. I said James Brown, the healer. Anointing the crowd with tears from a long time dying.
Sound waves in the air.
CKUT,
Montreal, Canada.
CKUT.
What's the matter? Is everything all right? That's okay. I've got just the right thing for you. CKUT, 90.3 FM.
CKUT
Radio.
Radio.
Sound waves in the air.
CKUT.
Montreal, Canada.
CKUT.
It's time to take sampling to a whole new level.
Pleasant good afternoon to you, Montreal. Welcome to West Indian Rivers. My name is Howard Carr. And the co-host of the show,
Thief,
Sankar. And along with the rest of the crew,
DJ Nicholas. Special guest, DJ.
With the news,
Brian Amplified.
Welcome to West Indian Rhythms.
On CKUT 90.3 FM,
People's Station.